Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that has no music and that still champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. And Chris, this week is a special week because it's the fundraising.
This is a very important week for CFMU McMaster Radio.
That's right. So we're going to spend a lot of today trying to convince you, the listener, to help out CFMU. It's award-winning radio thanks to us.
Thanks to us, yep.
And we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com, and I'm Walter Duraglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
Now, as we just mentioned, just eloquently, I think.
Eloquently.
Yeah. This week is pledge week for CFMU.
So for those of you that may not know that CFMU is a...
CFMU.
Yeah. Didn't I not say that?
I don't know.
Oh. CFMU relies on funding from various places, including the listeners.
That's right.
It is a non-for-profit station, so, mm-hmm. And it gives back to the community as much as it can. So we always try to make sure that we're doing our best to try to get people to pledge towards CFMU McMaster Radio. And if you are interested in pledging, please call the pledge line at 905-528-9888. Or you can also give them a call through McMaster, I'm sure, to try to get through to the CFMU station.
Right. To put it into perspective.
And you can also get through to through the CFMU website as well.
Oh, CFMU website. Okay. So just Google CFMU Radio, yeah. McMaster. And again, to put things into perspective, any radio station that would host us needs all the help it can get. Truly, when you think about it, put that in perspective. Think that through, and you'll be calling. You'll be running to the phone right now. And go, man! I really need to help these people.
You know, that reminds me of. Did you ever watch WKRP in Cincinnati?
Yes, remember, I love that show.
There was that episode where the funeral home wanted to advertise.
Yes,
and there started out with that single, that jingle where it said, like, you know, someday you're gonna buy it. And so finally, Arthur Carlson's like, you know, we can't do this. And so then the guy at Ferriman's funeral home was like, well, I guess I'm just going to have to find a radio station with ratings lower than yours. And he goes, well, good luck.
Hey, that's not to say CFMU ratings are low.
No, no, I'm just
far from it.
No.
It's our show.
Yes. We're just happy to be on the air.
We're just happy to be on the air. Yeah. We're happy to be part of the CFMU family, and we're happy to help out this week with our pledge drive. Chris, I would be remiss if we didn't mention that the CFMU Pledge Week was brought to us by Remy Martin Club Soda.
Oh, nice.
It's the Club Soda of France. And trust me when I say, the more Remy Martin Club Soda you have,
yeah,
the easier it becomes to say Remy Martin.
I believe that, actually. I totally believe that. Now, listen, today we're not going to have any... music at all.
No.
We're going. This is all going to be nothing but talk today. We want to devote every last minute as we can to being, just a regular kind of show.
Well, also we want to. It's kind of like a forewarning, a shot across the bow. If you don't donate, it will be like this every week.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness.
Well,
I really need to get these people some money.
We do have to start our show the way we do every week with talking about new this week.
Right.
And of course, you have the sponsor with the Club Soda.
Club Soda.
So this week we're going to talk about, what do we got here? Let's Batman number 66. And
Batman 66.
Batman 66.
Remember that title, Batman 66?
That's right. So interestingly enough, this is Batman number 66, but there was a Batman 66.
That's right.
That was a great series.
That was based on the Adam Westbrook Ward.
Correct.
60s shtick.
That's right. Well, it was that was
Batman.
Great. That was great because that also involved, it had like Wonder Woman, you know, from like the Linda Carter Wonder Woman. It was in there as well.
No, she
they had like a
you
thought there was like a
comic
team up. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
All right. I thought you meant in the original.
No,
yeah,
no.
Okay.
So, right. and then I think there was a Bionic Woman and Wonder Woman team up that they did as well. Same idea,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
So, anyways, Batman 66.
Batman 66 is out today at your local comic book shop. Remember, hey, we're still championing the local comic book shop. And Chris is this is the new. Did we already say that?
This is new this week. Yeah. Okay, so this one has.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. This is written. Of course, this continues the story with Tom King. Now, people are wondering what's going on with the storyline because it's a very possible that they're not too sure what's going on with Batman's mind. And of course, you know, ever since the whole wedding thing, the possibility there's been all these things going on. Well, is Batman dreaming this up? What's happening with all this? And he was actually being sort of going through nightmares. In the last few issues of whether or not what if he had actually married Catwoman, and anyways, lots of cool stuff going on there.
What if stories. Now, you and I, again, Chris, you and I talked about this before, but it's always fun to talk about Batman stuff. And let's reiterate, let's talk about Batman being the absolute most durable character
100%
in the history 100%. Of comics.
Yep.
Batman has been we have been given absolutely stunning, fantastic story arcs and storylines and artistic depictions from more varied creative teams through Batman than any other character by triple.
Right.
I'd maybe say Spidey was second.
Probably. I was thinking about Superman as being second, but you're probably right with Spider-Man being second.
I'm at quality, Chris.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. Why is it that people can't seem to write really good Superman storylines?
He's hard to write.
Why? Because you know what I think? I think it's easier to write a dark, brooding character than it is
a godlike, peaceful
character.
Right? Yeah, fair. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. There's no profit in happiness.
No, there really isn't. Yeah.
There's only profit in misery.
Well, yeah. Well, and there are a lot of people out there that do like to profit misery, that's for sure.
Yeah.
From misery.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Including the Batman writers.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just this King kid.
Tom King.
Tom King.
Yeah.
Doing a fantastic job.
Yes.
Doing an absolutely stunning job.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you a question.
All right, go ahead.
You're a budding writer in comics.
Yeah. I'm not, but if I was.
If you were.
Yeah.
And you're given the Batman title.
Yeah.
Are you petrified or are you excited?
Oh, petrified. Absolutely petrified and excited, but more petrified.
Yeah,
because,
so would I be.
Because there's so much.
How many shoes you have to fill?
Yeah, there's so much lineage that you have to follow, right?
I know.
You know, and just when you think, nobody can write another good Batman story after this, some other guy comes along.
But not only that, there's been so many good ones, and now the mantle's on you.
Well, that's what I mean.
It's like,
oh
my God, I really got to bring my A game.
You know, for a long time, Batman was really, you know, in the 90s, Batman, the character, was sort of just plodding along based on the fact that it was Batman. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a lot of really good story arcs that came out in the 90s, but I'll tell you, you know.
It was all that post-Miller, Batman's popular.
Yeah.
Let's just churn out Batman.
The movies were out, and it just churned it out, right?
Right.
You know, some good storylines came around, like the Venom storyline, where that's how we got, I think it was by Chuck Dixon, where...
The symbiote one? That was a joke.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not Batman.
This thing on? Hello?
Good call. But then anyway, that same Venom that created Bane, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then you get, years later, you get, Snyder.
Snyder, yes.
And now Tom King. So lots of great stuff going on with Batman.
Right on.
All right, listen, let's move on here. Justice League number 19 19. This one, of course, is by our good guy that we just talked about just now, Scott Snyder. With art by Jorge Jimenez.
Jorge.
And this is
George.
This is a great jumping on point. This is the sixth dimension, chapter one. So basically,
I have a problem, Chris, past the third dimension.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Can you imagine trying to write about the
sixth dimension? I don't even know what the sixth dimension is.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
Now is time the fourth dimension?
Sure. I don't know. Is it? I don't know. You're getting very existential all the time.
I'm just trying to help you out here in this bit.
By asking me questions I don't know the answer to is not helping me.
It's making it worse.
Yeah.
I understand.
But anyways, The sixth dimension is going to, they're actually going to enlist the help of Mr. Mixedio Pitlick. Do you remember him?
Yes, I do. Yeah. If you said his name backwards.
That's right.
You send him back to where he came
from. Back to where he came from. Right. But, so anyway.
And I don't know if people know this. If you call CFMU's pledge line.
Yes. Anytime now.
Oh, the pledge line is 905-528-9888. You'll also send Mitzel Oplitnik back to his thing. Just so you know.
Good call. All right, so that is Justice League number 19.
And that's available at your local comic book shop today.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Next up, we've also got Uncanny X-Men number 13. Which, it's surprising that, it seems like they're really pumping out a lot of X-Men again now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were before, but it seems like it's even more so now.
Right.
This is, so basically, Cyclops and Wolverine have now come together with a new team. And, because this is hot off the ashes of X-Men Disassembled. Hot off the ashes. So now they're basically have to rebuild a team.
Right.
And this is by Matthew Rosenberg and Salvador LaRocca, who's a
putting
awesome
the band player. Back together.
That's right. That's putting the band back together. And that is X-Men number 13.
X-Men number 13 is at your local comic book shop.
It is. What else have we got here? Let's also talk about. Oh, you know what? Let's talk about this quickly here, because this is. It's not surprising that this has become a bit of a sleeper hit. Mm-hmm. Conan the Barbarian.
Conan
already up to issue number 4.
Right.
But man, it's selling out all over the place.
I know.
Like it's. But here's the thing.
I
love the fact that Marvel's now bringing back Conan, but I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the new previews yet or not.
I haven't.
Okay. In the new previews, there's a new series coming out called... For those of you who don't know, previews is the monthly catalog that comes out where all the retailers order all the new comics from.
Right. They're available at your local comic book shop, too, for you to look through. So you can tell your local comic book shop, hey, order this for me, order that for me. So your local comic book shop will let you either A, buy a previews, or B, peruse
at least look through, yeah. Well, there's a new series coming out called the Savage Avengers. Savage Avengers. And it looks...
Terrible?
It looks... I don't want to say terrible on the air, but yeah, it looks terrible. Mm. It's got like Conan and Venom and I think Ghost Rider all part of a team. And it's just...
Oh my,
it looks
goodness.
Terrible.
Hold on. Would Kazar be in there?
Sure, why not? I think that's the one character that probably should be considering it Savage, but I don't think he's in there.
Right. How about Tarzan?
Yeah, no.
So you need Conan...
Conan.
Tarzan.
Yeah.
Kazar.
Yeah.
You need them. You need the loincloth.
Trio. Yeah. See, that would actually make sense.
The loin boys.
Yeah, the loin boys. But that would actually make sense.
Yeah,
it would. Yeah. I would read that.
So
well,
would I.
Well, maybe.
I'd watch the pictures anyway.
Look at the pictures?
Yeah, look at the pictures.
Yeah.
Do you watch pictures or do you look at them?
Well... You usually watch something that's moving.
That's moving,
right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's hope that loincloth ain't moving.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right.
But anyways, it's got. I caught that. I'm not. I'm just ignoring it. We've got.
Hey, Conan. Is your loincloth moving, or are you just happy to see me?
All right. On that note, Conan the Barbarian number 4 comes out on your local newsstands today.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, let's go to one non-Marvel and DC here.
Maybe we should.
I think so. Let's go to, how about, I don't know. Let's try.
Just pick it, Chris.
I know, but there's so many to choose from. How about Zombie Tramp number 57.
Come on, is that up to 57?
Zombie
already?
Tramp number 57. Now, this is actually a key issue, believe it or not.
It's a key issue.
It is a key
Aren't
issue.
They all key issues?
Well, this one's even an even more key
even
issue.
Even more key issue.
Because
it's a bigger key.
Well, the previous Zombie Tramp, Janie Bell,
uh-huh.
is no longer in the comic. I'm not gonna spoil it for anybody.
Don't spoil it for anybody.
But we now have the new Zombie Tramp, Angel Lynch.
Angel Lynch
is the new Zombie Tramp for issue number 57. So if in fact you want to get in the ground floor of a new story arc with
uh-huh.
a new character,
right.
first appearance,
yeah.
Zombie Tramp number 57 with
Angel Lynch.
What happened
to the old Zombie Tramp?
Well, I don't want to give it away.
Don't give it
I don't want to give it away.
Don't give it
it's,
away.
It's the old Zombie Tramp may or may not have become
something else.
Alive again. And then there's other issues going on with that.
Wow.
But anyways, wow. Yeah.
So, now Chris,
yes.
Now I'm privy to some information that I can pass along to the listeners.
Oh.
You spotted the merits of Zombie Tramp years ago.
I did, as a matter of fact.
Now,
yes.
You're one of the few proud owners of the very first Zombie Tramp.
The very first, yes.
Explain that book to us.
So that was a book that came out. And so Dan Mendoza is uh-huh. the creator, writer, author, artist on all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Of Zombie Tramp. Came out by a company called Super Real Graphics.
Super Real Graphics.
Super
That's
Real
the
Graphics.
That
was a publisher
that first
that initially came out on. Uh-huh. Way back, I think in 2009.
Right.
Now,
how did you get wind of it?
It happened to be a thing where I remember talking to somebody about it, and they basically said you pretty much had to be at one of the big shows. And I think I was at Chicago Comic Con, or yeah. I don't think it was Pittsburgh. I think it was Chicago. I happened to be there, and I like to go down up and down the aisle, Artist Alley,
yeah.
and Little Publishers and stuff uh-huh. like that. And I saw this comic, and I thought this looks kind of cool. It looks very interesting. So. I'll buy the first issue. Number three, two, and three weren't out yet.
Oh, so he's like peddling them off of his table.
Yeah, peddling them off the table from Super Real Graphics,
uh-huh.
and then all of a sudden, I didn't even know number two and three had come out.
Right,
it was one of those things. I'm wondering when the next issue's coming out. Never heard of it again until. Uh-huh. I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago, I found out that the issue had been rebooted through a comic company called Action Lab.
Right.
And Action Lab
I've heard
is
of
now,
Action Lab
they're now publishing the comic under their, what they call their Danger Zone imprint, which is sort of a more adult line.
And I'm stepping into the
Danger Zone. Yeah. So, if you're interested in Dan Mendoza's artwork, he just finished you're about 3 days too late. He just finished a Kickstarter for issue number 2 of his sad I think it's called Sad Girl Psycho Baby or something like that.
Nice.
Interesting little post-apocalyptic comic mm-hmm. book that he's doing only through Kickstarter. Unless you see him at the actual shows, then I think he has copies of that to sell at the show, but I don't think it's actually going through any of the retailers yet.
Very cool. Now, what would this Zombie Tramp, what would a copy of that first comic book go for?
Well, first of all, they're super hard to find.
Yes.
If you do see one on eBay, I have seen them go up to $1,000 on eBay.
Whoa.
So, it's...
how much you pay for yours when you buy it?
$4, I think.
I'll give you $5.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
That's a 25%.
That's a good point. That, yeah. I'm getting 25%
return on
investment. Yeah, that's pretty good. But that's saying that maybe that one was a 9.8 or a 9.9. Who knows what my condition is.
Well, you know what I think you should do, Chris?
What should I do?
I think you should offer it up to the listenership for, let's say, $2,500.
Yeah, I don't...
And then... of which you'll give $500 to CFMU if you get it.
Tell you what. No.
No. I'm trying, CFMU. I'm trying to help you out here.
Why would I do that when you're already donating $1,000 to CFMU that you told me off air that you were going to do anyways? No?
There's a bad connection.
Oh, I see. Right.
Listen, is that it for...
That's it for New This Week.
New This Week. Chris has just touched on a few, of course. Man, you got to go into your local comic book shop. There are tons and tons of great comics that are hitting the New This Week stand this week. You owe it to yourself to run in there and peruse. Hey, we're going to keep going with the show. And rather than musical interludes...
No musical interludes today. That's it.
We're
going strong.
To remind everybody of the CFMU... pledge drive.
Yep.
And again, the pledge line for CFMU to support quality radio programming like you're listening to right now or the next show after us anyway, is 905-528-9888 or just get onto the CFMU website and I'm sure there'll be some things pointing you to the pledge platform.
Absolutely.
In the site. Absolutely. Okay, it's going to bring us to industry news, Chris, and industry news is brought to us by, of course, Remy Martin VSOP Club Soda. It's the official club soda of the CFMU pledge drive.
Is it? Is it? Yes. Interesting. Okay.
CFMU has found the more club soda consumed, the higher the
pledge
donation.
Is good. Yeah, I'm sure.
So
I'm
that's
sure.
Why they want to participate.
Well, they become a little more...
Bubbly,
and they're very they're not dehydrated.
They're not dehydrated. No. That's right. You absolutely stay hydrated with this stuff, Chris. Let's talk about the industry news. You and I touched on it a bit last time, but I did watch that Shazam trailer.
Oh, did you? Yeah. And
my God, I'm so scared of that movie.
I don't know what to think of it.
I am so scared of that movie.
It's so weird looking.
The way they're plugging that movie, the Shazam movie, is this is what it would really look like if a 14-year-old got superpowers.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So I'm going, here's my thought on this.
Here's the thing.
It's like you and I, years ago, we were excited. And, you know, hopefully there's still some stuff in the pipeline. And I'm sure there is. But there was talk of Captain Canuck becoming a movie.
Right.
Right. And our good friend Richard Cumley, the creator of Captain Canuck, they were in talks and all that kind of stuff. And then you and I were sitting here talking about, okay, well, what do they do if they get green-lighted?
Right.
Do they try to make a traditional Captain Canuck superhero movie, like an Avengers or a Batman?
Yeah.
Or do they have to not try to compete head to head and make it offbeat and capitalize on the Canadiana of apologetic politeness and some sort of comedy.
Right.
It's like, so I guess what I'm saying is, was DC afraid to try to make a full frontal superhero?
Full frontal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Head on.
Yeah.
Superhero movie with Shazam, were they afraid? And well, they go, oh,
okay,
we don't know how to make one of those very well.
Well, I
let's do it different. Let's
I think there's a couple things going on here. I think one, the Shazam, they're really going back to the source material for Shazam, where, you know, originally he was sort of like, he was Billy Batson, right? Like he was this 14-year-old kid sort of stuck in this manly body and, you know, thought like a 14-year-old kid. And, you know, so I think they're really going for that feel. But I imagine that there's also part of what they're doing is they've been criticized for so long for being too dark. That now they're going the opposite way of not, not just bright, but goofy almost.
Yeah,
right.
That's what I'm saying.
And so maybe they're going to hit a home run with this one.
I hope so.
You never know because you know we had all the dark Batman movies, which I agree they should be dark.
Right.
Batman should
be
dark.
They were actually good.
Yeah, but then you had, you know, Man of Steel, which was dark.
We talked about this before. You and I just talked about it in New This Week, how Superman is the light and Batman is the night, you know what I mean? And if you go back to those melodramatic 20-minute death scene Superman movies 5 years ago or whatever it was, that's Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But you and I just said Superman is sunshine. Superman is thing. That's why the 1978 Superman worked.
It
was lighthearted. It was
still
fun.
Works.
It still works. Yeah. It's still a beautiful movie. So maybe they're going to do the right thing with this.
Well, and the thing is, you know, they made with Gene Hackman being Lex Luthor, he was still this evil mastermind, but he wasn't like a dark character.
It was Sunday afternoon movies.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It was great.
Yeah, it was
right?
fun. It was, you know, a lot
and,
of fun.
And then in the number two, they went to Niagara Falls or whatever it was. And anyways, that was a great movie. Great movie.
Yeah, it was.
But so, we'll see. We'll see about Shazam.
Yeah, I'm skeptical, but I'm hopeful.
Yes.
How about the Hellboy trailer?
Hellboy
have you
trailer.
Seen that yet?
I have seen parts of it. They produced a what they call a red band trailer for Hellboy, which is sort of like an R-rated trailer.
Yep.
I have mixed emotions about this. I keep on hearing about how they're trying to go back to the original content about how you know what it was really like. in the comic books, and they're trying to be more
the
true
Mike
to comics. The Mike
Mignola Hellboy.
Yeah, and, but everything I've seen so far isn't like that at all.
Right.
So I don't know what... Maybe they read a different comic than I did. I don't get it.
Now, the Perlman Hellboy of 10 years ago...
Yes.
But those were hits. Those were hit movies.
They were mild hits.
But like they made money.
They made money. Well, they made a sequel.
Yeah, and they were well received.
And there was going to be a third one, and then that got tanked. But okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so going back, obviously, there's money to be made in it. It's just they're not going to do them the same way.
No.
They're going darker, I think. They're going harder.
Well, but... Yeah, I don't know. I think, but what does darker mean? Does darker mean in tone, or does darker just mean the fact that there's going to be more blood
and
guts?
Seriousness,
yeah,
and heaviness. And,
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I'm undecided about this one. I love Hellboy, but you know,
Here's the thing about Hellboy.
When you read a Hellboy comic that was actually written by Mike Mignola, it's awesome.
Yes,
but when it's a Hellboy comic that's written by somebody else, and it's kind of like Mike Mignola may have had just input in it.
Yeah.
It's meh.
Yeah.
It's good. It's still Hellboy, but it's like, it's not the same, right?
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem because I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, I think it's a problem because they've just picked the wrong writers. You can't sit there, Chris, and tell me that Hellboy can only be written by Mike Mignola. I refuse to believe that for one thing.
Right.
You and I just talked about how 32 different writers have hit home runs with Batman.
I'm
not going to sit there and listen to you tell me that only Mike Mignola can write Hellboy.
I know, and that's not... That's
I know not, it's not what you
that's
said.
That's not what I'm saying.
I know, but so far, the efforts have fallen
right.
flat.
They're not as good.
So Hellboy is a great character. Hellboy can be done well. I like the fact that they're redoing the movie, and I wouldn't mind a different take than the Perlman one. So I'm excited.
Yeah,
about
I'm excited about it. I want to see what they're going to do with it. We'll see. We'll see. That's all I can say is we'll see.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the other movie we want to talk about here is Captain Marvel.
Man, there's so much.
There is so much controversy over this movie.
I cannot believe this.
This is
what's going on.
This is ridiculous.
It is like a hater heaven.
Oh, I can't believe how much people are either hating on this movie or
not to take it in a political tone. It's almost like the Fox News group and the CNN news group.
You know,
it's almost like like polarized as much as the politics in the States. It's just polarized. Is it? Let me ask you something.
Okay.
Is this a pushback on all the reappropriation of gender roles?
Well,
by all the people that have had enough of it, because
I think that's part of it.
Part of it is a small part.
I think that's part of it. But okay, so but you, for example, I read just today that James Woods, actor, famous Hollywood actor, has said go out and boycott Captain Marvel.
Why?
Well, I guess he read a tweet from somebody online that said, all you men out there, all you white male men or something. I'm paraphrasing.
I might not be getting it right exactly.
But something to that effect where saying, you know, don't bother going to this movie. This is our movie.
Oh.
Right?
That's nasty.
Yeah. So now the tweet didn't – I remember reading the tweet and it said something like white male haters. And it's like, well, I don't think – not just because you're white and you're male doesn't make you a hater,
yeah.
Right? But anyways,
I think it's male haters. I don't think you have to draw the line on white in terms of gender appropriation.
Well, either way, you know, it just seemed to be very. There's so much controversy over this movie that I did not expect. We're getting a female hero that we have not had yet, really.
But correct me if I'm wrong. The Captain Marvel switch over to a female Captain Marvel was kind of seamless. It was something that we all accepted as a cool new project.
Absolutely.
I don't remember any kind of pushback.
In the comic, you mean?
In the comic.
No, not at all.
So I don't remember... that So it's not like, I remember in comics when Jane Foster became Thor, there was all kinds of an uproar and stuff
like that.
I remember that, but I don't remember when Captain Marvel became, you know, Ms. Marvel became Captain Marvel. That was just, it seemed to just have been another progression in the character. I don't remember it being an issue with fans at the time. For some reason,
no.
I just don't remember.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seemed,
yeah,
but
to a small degree, maybe.
But here, I don't think there was any real issue because she was Ms. Marvel in the comics and she became Captain Marvel.
Right.
So it was a natural progression.
That's right.
Now, there is no natural progression other than the fact in the movies, other than the fact that you're just introducing a new character.
That's right.
But there's no, there was no pushback to Rocket or Groot or Star-Lord
or anything.
So
are you saying, so what's with this Brie Larson kid? So is it because it's Brie Larson or is it because it's a woman?
I don't know. I don't. From what I'm reading, it's because it's a woman. So I found the tweet here, and it says, "Dear white men haters, you're not welcome at cinemas for Captain Marvel, hashtag Captain Marvel. This movie takes a stand against everything you represent. Don't pollute the audience with your toxicity. I stand in solidarity with every woman who has ever faced abuse. And then it gives the name.
That's fantastic. I love that tweet.
But like,
that's just so nasty.
It's nasty, but and I, you know what, I get it. I get that there's anger there, but you know, we're not all, you know.
Well, you can't say that because you're just disavowed off the bat. But I guess my question is read that again, please, one more time.
Are you sure you want me to?
Yeah, please.
It says, "Dear white men haters." Now, it is specifying white men haters, so it's not saying all men.
Right, yeah, I get it.
It's saying, "Dear white men haters."
That helps a lot.
You're not welcome at cinemas for Captain Marvel.
Okay, that's what I want. So I guess here I'm mad at, what's his name, James Wood?
No, James, he did not say this.
No, I know that.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
But hear me out.
Yes.
Now, the thing about online social media and presence and all this kind of stuff, man,
yep.
How many, I don't want to say kooks.
Right.
But how many kooks are out there? How many,
lots,
how many,
lots.
You know, people that just like, just don't follow logic all the way through out there. So, of course, you're going to get comments like that.
Right.
You're going to get extremist comments like
yep,
that.
Yep.
And for a level-headed Hollywood celebrity that should be all about the success of this movie,
right,
for them to actually react to that in a, oh, yeah, way,
well,
is bad on Mr. Woods.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Come
absolutely.
On.
Well,
let her have, or him, or whoever wrote this, let them have their vents. You know,
well,
like,
and
we
the
don't
thing
have
is,
to listen to this. Why,
well,
are, why
okay,
are we listening to this?
But hold on. So the James Woods's response to this, though, is what, it's almost even worse.
That's what I'm saying.
Because he says here, "When you have a choice, pick a movie where the studio doesn't hate half its audience."
But so, the studio didn't hate half its
audience.
But
the studio is not hating the audience.
No, the studio
is
creating
just some
a fantastic
kook
product.
Out there who's making a trying to make a point
and not
doing a very good job of it. So,
so everybody's losing their mind.
Absolutely.
Basically
yes.
is what's going on.
Everybody's losing their mind
And they're
over
losing
this.
Their mind and basically what Captain Marvel movie has become is a flashpoint to this other, to this kind of parallel, to a societal culture war, whatever you want to call
right.
it. And so they're using the Captain Marvel movie as a battleground for this larger
right.
Social issue.
Right.
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 Well,
that's just sucks. And you know, this is a case where...
That's what I say. I say everybody, after they've called CFMU...
and pledged.
Pledged. They should go out and make sure they go watch this Captain Marvel movie.
This is strange for me because I've never seen a movie like this. This movie's become the divorced kid, the divorced child. Like it's like there's two parents that are fighting and... It's this kid. This movie has just become like
that's
this.
That's right. Yeah. It's caught in the middle.
It's caught in the middle.
Poor little movie.
Poor little movie. It's
poor
like
little movie.
I just want to do a good job and have a good movie.
Now let me ask something. Is this good or bad for the movie?
Well, I don't know if it's good press or not because they say
isn't any press good press?
I don't know. I don't know if this is a case where all press is good press. Certainly the we're talking about it a lot. you know, because of this.
Well, I mean, I think you and I are standing firm and championing this movie.
Absolutely.
This is going to be a fantastic
movie. It will be.
You know, the character is a fantastic character.
Yep.
The tie-in to the Avengers is going to be great.
If the movie... Okay, here's the thing. If the movie tanks, if it doesn't do well, it's not going to be because... It was a female lead in the movie.
Right.
It's going to do poorly because it was not well written or well directed or all those other things.
But the problem, what if it's not that? What if it does poorly because it's because of some social divide in society?
What if the actual movie itself intrinsically is not a good movie?
But what if it's a good movie and it still doesn't do well because Mr. Woods gets
That's very possible because there's lots of movies out there that do not do well despite the fact that they're awesome movies.
Right.
So
right.
That's possible.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about what if the movie is terrible?
Right.
On its own.
Yeah.
It doesn't do well because it's just a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then what happens?
I don't know.
Then do you get all the people saying, hey, told you so, when that's not the case just because it happened to be a female lead?
Maybe.
Well, that's not right.
I know.
You know?
Hmm.
So there's lots of things. Or it might tank, as you say, because, you know, people... Maybe people don't want to admit that they went to go see it.
Right.
Maybe they heard that it was going to be bad.
Or maybe they're afraid to go see it. They'll get booed out of the theater
right.
if they meet some sort of... social and racial
right.
description.
Yeah, who knows?
Right? Really, really
interesting.
Weird time.
An interesting time for a superhero movie.
Yeah, to have a superhero movie as a flashpoint.
Yeah.
Of some societal
change,
debate, or change, or controversy is quite interesting.
Right. It's this very odd.
You've come a long way, baby.
Yeah. Very strange. Fantastic. Very, very strange. So anyways, that's a Captain Marvel controversy going on right now.
All right. So let's take a break.
Oh, we can't take a break.
Well, no, we're taking a break to plug the CFMU.
Oh, right. So listen, in all seriousness, we do talk about, you know, how we've made this station great. We didn't make this station great. CFMU has been great for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It was
we
great.
We just made it even greater.
It was great before we arrived. Uh-huh. It's better now. But let's be honest, it'll be great even once we're gone 20 years from now.
Right.
I'm saying we're going to be around for 20 years.
20 years. Easy.
And if you do, and we do need your pledges, we do need to have local radio programming, quality programming like CFMU has. We do want you to go ahead and pledge. And please call the number. The pledge line is 905-528-9888. Please support your local radio station.
Right. And your local comic book shop while you're at it.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right. Let's continue with the show then. Let's remind everybody that Sam Remy VSOP Club Soda is available at your local club soda dispensary.
Club soda dispensary.
Drink responsibly because too many bubbles, Chris, can affect the brain.
It's true. That's right? True, yeah.
So that's all we ask. Yeah. Chris, let's talk about...
you want to talk about variant covers
this
year.
Yeah, you know what? And the reason I wanted to talk about variant covers is you and I have become smitten.
Smitten.
With Stanley Lau.
Mm.
Otherwise known as Art Germ.
Art Germ.
Whoa, my goodness. So if you're at your local comic book shop, I think last week, Wonder Woman number
great cover.
65
came out.
Yes,
I
it
think
was
so.
65.
Yes.
And there was a Stanley Lau Art Germ variant cover.
Yep.
If you're lucky enough, one will still be in there. You go out there and you grab that thing as fast as you can. I think a month ago he did a Catwoman number 7.
Well, he did a bunch of Cat. He was doing Catwoman for a few months there, and now he's doing Wonder Woman. He's sort of jumping a little bit all over the place.
Right, and then of course he did some sort of really unique thing with that Detective number 1000.
Yeah. So okay. So lots to talk about here. So with the advent of variant covers, not only are there variant covers that you can buy at your local comic book store.
So for example, Diamond, the distributor, will arrange with the publisher like Marvel or DC. Let's just use those two for example. Let's say there's a new Spider-Man book.
Yep.
And they'll solicit an artist to draw a cover that they will produce every 50th one. So
right.
It'll be the 1 in 50 variant or the 1 in 100 variant.
Right. So that means that basically you have to order 50 copies
as
to
a
get,
store.
As a store
yeah,
to
if
get
If you order 100 copies of Spider-Man number 10,
right.
whatever, you get 2 1 in 50 variant and 1 1 in 100 variant.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there is a secondary market already built in for these things because there are collectors for
right.
these things. So you as a local comic book shop can go out and try to, that day, that very day that it comes out,
yep.
try to sell that 1 in 50 for, I'm making up a number here, but let's say $39.95.
Yep. Yep.
Or the 1 in 100 for $75
right.
or something like that.
Yep.
And then these collectors will buy it. Or they'll go online and sell it on eBay for yep. maybe $95.
Right. Which, you know, when you think about it, even if it was, let's say it was a 1 in 50, if you're paying uh-huh. if you're paying $50 for it,
right.
that's still a bargain.
Right.
Really, because
right.
the store had to buy 50 copies
right.
at whatever the retail price was.
Right.
In order to get that one.
That's right.
So really, if you want that, you should be paying close to that as
right.
well.
You're absolutely
but they don't
right.
but most stores don't do it like
yeah,
that.
They
right. do kind of like a
Well, they will after a certain point. We've done this a couple times before where we've kind of allocated our well, okay, we think we can sell 150 of these books.
Right.
So we get 3 variants. And then somebody will say, "Hey, I want a 1 in 50 variant." Well, we
right.
go, "Well, we've already got the 3 spoken for."
Yeah.
He goes, "Well, just order me 50 copies."
Yes, yes.
"I want this book."
Right.
"So, are you sure?" "Yes."
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And
yep.
so, okay. So that's the way we do it. But that's the traditional variant covers.
Right.
Where the publishers are generating the variant.
So
what else is going on?
Okay, so first of all, even in those, we've got 2 different things. You've got, for example, Harley Quinn
mm-hmm.
comes with a regular cover and a variant cover every month.
Right.
But they're they're 1 in 1. So
you can order
10 of one and 10 in another, and it doesn't matter. You
right.
can choose it.
18 and 2 if you want.
Right. And then there's also the 1 in 50, 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, whatever that you were just talking about.
Right.
Then there's also variant covers where artists will, artists themselves, well, let's go with the store. The store will say, "I'm going to, I want to sell this Detective Comics 1000. But I'll get the artist, I'll get the artwork, I'm going to solicit it to DC, and DC will say, yes, you can print that one comic with that artwork and all that." And that
but
becomes
there's to be a minimum.
The minimum, usually it's 500, but
right.
it could be more than that depending on the comic.
Right.
It could be 1,000.
So let's say the Silver Snail in Toronto
decides to do their own
cover
yep.
for Batman 1000,
right.
and they get local artists, Mike Ruth.
Yep.
To draw the cover.
Right.
And they'll say, "Hey, we got Mike."
But then that comic is only available through that store.
Through the Snail.
Right.
Right.
Now it's actually gone one step further
uh-huh.
where now you have the artist is offering that same idea where
so the artist is saying, "Hey, I'm soliciting Marvel.
I'm gonna have my own site, I'm uh-huh. gonna have my own website, and
DC.
If you wanna have my art germ Wonder Woman number 50 or whatever it happens
uh-huh.
to be.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing my own cover for it. I'm going to sell 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
And if you want, you have to order through my own website. Completely
oh.
cutting out the whole retailer.
Oh, my goodness. So this is what Mr. Lau has done.
This is what Stanley Lau is doing.
Uh-huh.
And he's just doing his own thing now through his own website. Where
and
it's
guess
like,
what? Something like that would only work if he or she is a fantastic artist.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, so I didn't get a chance to order the Stanley Lau Detective 1000.
They looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's one of those things where it's offered. You know, if you pay attention to the websites and you manage to find out.
I remember it was a Saturday evening at
right.
6 p.m.
Right. And
my site's going live
yep.
Saturday at 6 p.m. If you want in on this, you have to be there at Saturday 6 p.m.
Correct.
Who's around their computer at Saturday
well,
6 p.m.?
That's why I was out for dinner somewhere, so
yeah.
I didn't get a chance. But, you know, I'm also a big fan of a guy named, I'm going to say his name wrong. I think it's Warren Lowe. It could be Lou.
Mm-hmm.
It's L-O-U. W. He's from South Africa. But he had comics through, I believe it was, I don't remember. It was either Mega Comics or KRS. I think it was Mega Comics. But I ordered, but again, Sunday morning at 11 a.m.,
yeah.
You had to be on that site.
Right.
And, you know.
Now, what titles is he drawing?
This was, again, for Detective Comics.
Oh.
But he only does covers right now.
Right, right.
But again, he did. Yeah. He was doing a cover for Detective 1000. That is not out yet, but I pre-ordered it for myself, you know, just to make sure I would get one. But again, it's one of those things where you have to be on the ball in order to get one. And this isn't anything new. It was Natalie Sanders. I ordered some from this artist named Natalie Sanders from the same site. And I clicked it. I made the order. I went back literally 2 minutes after I made the order to see if it was still available. It was already sold out. Jeez. So you had to be... It's like buying tickets to a concert.
Right.
Like you had to be, you know, clicking refresh, refresh, refresh.
Yeah.
And
Yanni is coming to Hamilton Place.
Yeah, exactly.
You better get on there right away.
So, you know, the variant, I thought the variant cover phenomenon would die out a long time ago.
So did I. And it's just like, it's actually morphed. It's actually healthier than it's ever been when you think about it.
Yeah, it's a great term because it has morphed into this weird thing where I think because now they're being offered by fantastic artists and they're being offered as exclusives.
Well,
you know, it's not just a one in 500.
I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why I think this is happening is because collectability is strong. But when you think about what comics have become more and more so is desirability of covers.
Right.
Right. Even look at old books, golden age books, silver age books from the 40s, from the 60s, whatever. You're seeing, you know, say 10 years ago when so much of the emphasis was on the first appearances of characters or the major developments of the characters, like death issues and stuff like that. You know, while those are still, you know, the most important, they've literally, their times of importance over the cover based ones has been shrinking.
Right.
And the covers are catching up. And it's like the hottest segment of the comic book market, collectible comic book market, is covers.
Yeah.
By far.
By far. Yeah.
The hottest.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're the most valuable.
No.
But, you know, an action one will still be more than a suspense three.
Right.
But that ratio may be 1 to 8 right now, whereas 10 years ago it was 1 to 30.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. So,
well, because
and when you look at now, when you look at these variant covers, you know, before, when you look at some of the variant covers, and Chris, I'm just going to estimate in the last 15 years that there's been probably 5,000 variant covers.
Sure.
Okay. To my surprise, some of those variant covers have stuck.
Yes.
You never know which one.
Well, that's right.
But you kind of do now know which one if you look back. It's the iconic, dramatic, I can't get it out of my mind covers.
Right.
Right.
So great example where one of the first, now it was not the first one, but one of the first ones I remember was the Platinum Spider-Man comic that came out in, I think it was 1990. Remember there's the regular, you know, regular color, and there was like the gold
the
one,
silver, the gold, the green.
But there was a platinum one that came out. That was,
yes.
I think it was 1 in 100 or 1 in 500 or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think that has the same weight.
Right.
As it did back then when it first came out.
Yes.
You know, I don't remember, I can't remember how much it was selling for, but it was a very expensive comic for that time.
Right.
Whereas, you know, one that came out, say, 10 years ago, and the only one I can think of offhand is the Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes with the Adam Hughes cover, and she's floating on that asteroid.
That's right.
Nobody really looked at before.
Right, because it was just a variant cover.
Just a variant cover.
Right.
You go on eBay now, it's a $1,500 book.
I know. It's amazing. And because of the quality of the cover.
Right.
You take that, is it Spidey 578 or 678, the one with Mary Jane, is the symbiote.
Yes.
Or turning into Venom or something that. That is such a dramatically strong cover that you take, let's say, 677, the same ratio, 1 to 500, whatever, like the similar type of variant that may just have had, you know, a busy cover.
Yep. Yep.
But not a dramatic cover. You know, that might, on the marketplace, that may have, you know, like stale bread. That right. may be worth $20
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the other one's worth $2,000.
Yep. Right? Yeah, it's crazy.
It's because the market has given it this uber importance.
So, interestingly enough, so now, on top of all these variant covers, mm-hmm. you also now have what has come out with virgin variant covers. Oof. So
sketch variant covers.
Sketch variant covers. So virgin variant covers uh-huh. is a cover that doesn't have the title on the book.
That's right, not the mask.
And not the giant, you know, yeah, the trade.
It'll be in text, small text along the bottom.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and usually those are printed even in even smaller quantities. So you get a book like, say, I don't know, Detective Comics 1000 by Art Germ, yeah. and you know it's there's 500 available to buy. That's it.
That's right.
Not even a 1N. There's only 500.
That's right.
But the virgin one uh-huh. is maybe 250.
Jeez.
So now all of a sudden those are worth more
triple.
Money. Triple. Uh-huh. And a lot of these stores and guys like Art Germ are now offering a guaranteed graded version as well
right.
for a much higher price.
Yeah, yeah,
so you can buy a guaranteed 9.8 of that Detective 1000, uh-huh. but it's going to cost you $300.
$300.
Right.
Jeez. Yeah.
So there's lots of you know...
You know what? And
stuff going on.
To tell you, like, the one thing, and I fought this for years, Chris, maybe even a couple of decades, really, I fought, no, it doesn't matter, because it's the content that matters. And the touch point for me, the my Achilles heel in all my arguments in the last 10 years, I vehemently argued over this small, subtle difference,
yep.
and I've been proven wrong. And that now I know I'm wrong, and I have to... Remember the old Bugs Bunny, if you can't beat him, join him?
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the Star Wars 35 Center.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what are you guys doing? It's the same book inside. What are you guys doing? This is like, I was saying that 10 years ago when the book was worth $4,000.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You guys are morons.
Yeah, why would you buy that?
Now it's worth $25,000. Yeah, so who's ridiculous. The moron, right?
Yeah.
You're looking at them. That's who the moron is.
Yeah.
So, and if it's just, if the marketplace will react to just like a price variant,
yeah.
can you imagine how much they'll react to a like a cover different variant that the cover is so unique and so superior and so well done that you want to own one because it's basically poster art.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Yes.
And it delivers what you want. Uber scarcity.
Well, and I think one of the things that's interesting in comics right now is if you look at the cover artists that DC and Marvel are hiring, they're really stepping out of their comfort zones. Like yeah. they're really going off to the European and Asian yeah. Asian yeah. artists, where yeah. before it was sort of a strict, you know, North American threshold.
Well, I think this guy Art Germ,
yep.
is basically a definite escalation.
Oh yeah,
like he is like a sensation. Right?
Oh, 100%.
And the yeah. sensation has been about what, a year old maybe for him.
A little longer than that.
Okay,
but, yes.
but really taken off. Yeah, let's say so.
Really taken off.
What usually happens with this, when guys like this, when you see it, there's usually a reaction
sure.
with more copycats
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's going to be others now trying to mimic
totally.
Having their own
totally.
Variants
yep.
and their own this
yep.
and their own that.
Well, and if you look at, there's going to be a series of comics that are coming out by Marvel. And Marvel hasn't been really doing a lot of the variants up until now. But now, if you look at the latest previews, it's like every issue has
That's
pretty much a variant.
That's my point. Yeah. So... we all wanted this to go away 3 years ago.
Yeah,
complaining
and it's
about
stronger than ever.
It's stronger than ever, yeah. and it's just going to accelerate.
Yeah, that's
all
right.
All right, Chris, I think we should leave it. So another good time to segue into...
Yes, you know what? We really need to, again, emphasize the importance of CFMU and its help on the local community.
Quality programming, yes. The pledge line, don't forget, 905-528-9888. Go on to CFMU, also on their website. I apologize, I don't have their website right in front of me, but CFMU FM Radio, 93.3 Hamilton McMaster Radio. Jump onto their website, and I'm sure they'll have pledge forms there as well. Easy to pay type things. They're not asking for much.
Nope.
Just
you know, $1, keep, $2,
yeah,
whatever you can afford.
20.
Well, whatever you can afford, right?
Yeah. And you just add to the, I guess, the whole keep the whole thing going.
Yes. Right. Well, you know, it's an important time right now because there could be funding going on right now with funding issues right now with the Doug Ford premiere and all, and there could be budget cuts, and so who knows what's happening, but we do need your support more now so than ever.
All right, Chris, don't have much time after that. I don't know what you want to talk
about. Well, I want to talk about this you gave me a note here. It said collectible comics prices are flat to down across the board, but other collectibles are starting to heat up. So what do you mean by that?
Yeah, we've noticed at the shop, you know, how, listen, collectible comics is still such a strong segment of the market. There's so yep. many people love collecting comics. It's great,
yep.
right? But we've noticed, let's say from maybe starting last summer, that the increase in values skidded to a halt almost
for comics
for most of the big collectible comics.
Right,
so we're talking about Spider-Man ones and Hulk ones.
Right.
You know, important comics of the Silver and Bronze Age.
Yep.
And comics that are around, they have tons of value because there's tons of demand, and they were seeing year over year appreciation of double digits for the 3 or 4 years before
sure.
that.
Yep.
And it looked like it was an endless thing. Well, kind of the, you know, the breaks on the appreciation and value kind of happened around last summer.
So right.
these things are still worth a ton of money.
Right.
It's just that if you bought last July, it might be worth what you bought it for.
Right.
Whereas if you had bought it the July before, you might have been up 15%.
Right.
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 But while that's been happening, we've noticed at the shop a tremendous increase in interest in other collectibles.
Like what?
Back issue toys, like collectible toys.
Collectible toys, yeah.
I cannot believe, Chris, I cannot believe. Can I say it again?
Go ahead. What?
I cannot believe.
Can't believe?
Yeah. The interest in wrestlers.
Wrestlers. Like wrestlers.
Those old rubber.
Those old
wrestlers,
big rubber wrestler toys. Wrestler
yeah. I would just say when they come in, I go, yeah. What do you want for them? 50 cents each? And the guy laughs at me and he goes, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I go, what? Are they worth money?
Yeah.
And then I go get Jay, who's our wrestling guy.
Yeah.
And he comes up and he's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How much money do you got in the back?
Yeah.
I go, what do you mean? Well, these things are worth a ton.
Really?
They are.
It's crazy.
Right?
Eh?
Like it's amazing. Like those wrestlers can be worth $20, $50, $100.
That's crazy. Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
it depends. I don't know what it depends on. Obviously, it depends on condition.
Yeah, yeah.
But not so much the character. It's like comics in a way. Characters are important. So, you know, like Hulk Hogan, I guess, would be important.
Yep.
But with a Hulk Hogan, like Jay would be telling me, you got to remember with a Hulk Hogan, he was the biggest selling wrestler.
Right. So there's lots of them.
There's lots of them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm making up names. Coco Beware or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
even he was famous.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
So maybe it was like Roddy Piper. Maybe he was famous. But yeah. there would be these BC
sure.
wrestlers
yeah.
that they made,
sure.
And they were the worst selling ones.
Right,
they're the ones everybody wants now because
right.
they're the hardest to find.
And right? if you're a completist,
that's right.
Like a
you
lot
have
of toy
to have
collectors
them.
Are
right.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, wow. But it's not only wrestlers; it's Pokemon cards are starting to come back.
Well, and
Pokemon
the,
cards,
and well, and from what I know, the original Pokemon cards are worth a fortune.
So the best card I remember back in 99, 2000, when the Pokemon craze was
yeah,
happening,
yeah.
we thought we were thieves for selling Charizards,
right.
which was the number one card,
yeah, yeah.
for like $40.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh my God, like, can you believe that? That dad just paid $40 for
really
a Charizard.
Wanted it, apparently.
Boy, well, yeah. he must have really wanted it. The kid really wanted it. The dad didn't care.
Yeah.
But those Charizards now, if they're well preserved,
yeah.
are thousands.
Yeah, you'd be happy to pay $40
for
one.
Yeah, I'd pay 80.
Yeah,
hey guy, bring it back. I'll give you a double.
Yeah,
but anyway, all right, Chris. We'll get into the topic of collectability more next week. Let's remind everybody that CFMU Pledge Week is happening this week. Please call the pledge line at 905-528-9888 or go online and make a pledge, make a donation to CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. We're here every week, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com, and we're still encouraging you to go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.